Welcome to another episode of Introductory Wine Classes for Novices. All right, today in this podcast, we have Helen and Lisa joining us. Thank you for guest podcasting with me. Hey, so the question is, how do you taste wine? Like, how is it you really taste wine? And, you know, you hear about look at it, smell it, taste it. But tell us, what's the proper way to sort of taste wine in your mind?
Okay, so I have a very academic approach to tasting wine from the WSET, the Wine and Spirits Education Trust of London.
Thank you very much.
I have attended their class as well.
So, four parts. So first of all, you want to have a look at the wine. What's the colour? What's the intensity of colour in the centre of the wine versus the rim? Then you want to nose the wine, and you want to be looking for things like aroma. What type of aroma? Is it fresh? Does it feel like the wine's developing? What types of fruit characteristics is there? Earth characteristics and all, anything that you're getting, minerality. Then you're going to go to taste. So you're going to look very specifically at the acidity that you experience on the side of your tongue, or the sugar that you experience on the tip of your tongue, or the tannin that you experience on your teeth and on your tongue, on the back of your tongue. And then you're going to look for just overall impressions of, is the flavors of the wine that you got on the aromas of the wine you got on the nose, is it the same as the flavor? And then the all-important length. How long does that fruit characteristic or the enjoyment of the wine stay with you? Is it 5-10 seconds? And then the next characteristic or the next thing you're going to look for is the conclusion. So is this a wine that you think is well made? You know, whatever your character, whatever your criteria is, do you think this is a wine that should be drunk now, or should it be laid down to age a little bit longer?
And it seems that there is no right or wrong, right? I think the thing I try to emphasize with Nick is, hey, it's your experience, right?
It's subjective.
Yeah, and I've sat in a room of experts, right, and I came in the mean of where they were all at, but they all varied in their opinion. So when you're looking at, let's start with the look. You're looking at the wine. What are you looking for? Like, you hear people talk about legs, but is that a bunch of horse shit, or what do you think?
I don't put a lot of precedence on legs, although my dad does, and he's from the Lower East Side of Manhattan.
But isn't that the sugar content determines how much the legs are on the, how
much it goes down?
It's basically the alcohol, and it's a piece of the alcohol called glycerol, and it has the texture of alcohol. And so basically it's showing, as you swirl it around the glass and those tears drip down the side of the glass, what that is glycerol or alcohol.
And those are called legs, correct?
Legs,
sometimes
exactly.
Referred to
as legs. Yes.
But again, Lisa, what are you looking for in a wine when you look at it?
So if I took a piece of white paper and I turned the glass that I just poured for myself on the side, you're looking for a concentration of color to the rim of that glass. So from the rim to basically the middle of the glass, you'll see purplish red color, if it's a deep red like a Cabernet, or we were talking about Netto d'Avila earlier, and you'll see that, oh, is the concentration of that glass of wine to the rim, could be age, it could be I think fruit, basically like how much of that concentrated fruit was in there. And a lot of sommeliers, when they're looking at the glass, they look at that. Like, is it watery at the rim? Is it not? Is it deeper color through to the rim? They judge a wine on its color.
But realistically, the deeper it is, sort of the bigger experience. And if it's leaner, meaning you can sort of see through it, I think you get a leaner experience.
Sure.
Right?
Lighter to mid-body wines.
Lighter to mid-body.
So, for the most part.
So you can't tell a lot about, I find visually, I almost pass over it because I don't see much in it, but maybe I'm not the expert. But.
However, if you took a glass of Burgundy and that Burgundy, you didn't know what they poured you, and that was a very old Burgundy, you might find, instead of like almost like a pale yellow to yellow hue, you might see more of a golden, like kind of towards golden orange look of that wine glass, and that could be how long that wine was actually aged.
So that's great. Let's get into sort of smell, because smell I find may be the most...
That's the best.
Funny. It's the best, but it's also where the funny, where people give these arrogant sayings about things. Oh, this smells like hay. This smells like zephyr. This, you know, there people come up with sort of the craziest things.
It actually
things
does or, sometimes. Yeah,
right.
Like
people kind of go out there, right? But the key is there's not hay in the wine, right? There's not smoke in the wine, right? But...
But there could have been hay around those grapevines.
Or you might be picking up flavors in your smell that are similar to what you're getting in the wine, mm-hmm. even though there may not have been hay. Mm-hmm. You might be picking up hay. So what are some examples where you guys have had smells that you've picked up in wine?
Well, I think there are some classic characteristics or smells.
I was going to give him a bad one.
Fruit characteristics.
Oh, wait, let's go with the good ones first.
Go with the good ones first, okay.
So there's some classic. So if we look at Cabernet Sauvignon, so when you nose the wine, the fruit characteristic you typically get is blackcurrant. When you nose Zinfandel, one of the specific characteristics of fruit you're going to get is blueberry. You get this very bluey fruit characteristic. With Pinot Noir, you're going to get a little broader. You're going to get raspberries, strawberries, cherry. Perhaps cherries. And on you can go. And most grape varieties,
Pinot Noir, mushroom,
sort of have a fruit marker for the most part.
Sounds good, but Lisa, bring on those bad smells. Okay. What bad smells?
I want to give you the number one bad smell.
Oh, I think
when
I
you go and order a bottle of wine with your girlfriend or a date in a restaurant, and this smell, it smells like mold. It smells like wet cork gone bad. Any
well,
other references?
Are you talking about a corked wine? No,
corked
bad wine.
Wine.
But you can have a good wine that actually smells like socks initially, right? You could have some weird smells. Doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad wine. What you're talking about is the wet dog cork smell.
Yeah.
That's a different thing, right?
Yeah.
Where you actually have a
you'll
bad
wine. You'll
taste
it, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you'll
have
taste
a bad
it.
Wine.
And it tastes like a musky wet dog, right?
Yeah.
Not that I taste many of those very often, but all right.
I have had a few.
Yeah. So we've had a lot of corked wine. But you can get a variety of different sort of smells in there. And I've heard, you know, from, you know, tangerine to hay to ocean to...
I've smelled green olives in wines. Right. And I think it was Burgundy.
The other one we had tonight, green pepper, not uncommon.
Green pepper is usually, it's a wine that's not either aged enough
well,
or it's a newly made
Sauvignon
wine.
Sauvignon Blanc breaks into two characteristics. You've told me one is sort of the, what I call the earthy asparagus kind of approach, and the other is a citrusy grapefruit kind of
right.
smell. Again, these wines were not made with grapefruit or asparagus. They just have that our minds can associate those smells from the past with these particular wines. So we get to the world of taste, right? What are you typically trying to find in taste when you're tasting a wine? What are you zeroing in on?
There's different areas of your palate that I think, Helen, you can speak to more.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, we taste acid, we taste salt, we taste sugar, we experience the tannin. And that's really what we're tasting.
What is tannin? When you say tannin to a novice, what do you mean by tannin?
So if you think of when you make a cup of tea and you see the tea seeping out of the tea bag and then you taste that tea and it has that drying sensation on your teeth and your tongue, that's tannin. And it's coming from the tea leaves. So similarly in a grape, both in the seeds and the skin, it has this chemical compound that we call tannin. And so what this does is, it's actually a preservative, and it preserves the wine when you crush the grapes and it seeps into the wine. And also it gives structure to the wine. It allows that wine to age. But the impression that it has in our palate is this sort of drying sensation, which doesn't sound particularly attractive, but it's a component of the good structure of wine. And when that's matched with some grapefruit, some really nice fruit is what I'm saying, with some good acidity, with some grapefruit and alcohol,
it's going to be
then
balanced.
It's going to be balanced, and you need the tannin there. And it's present in grape varieties.
Sometimes it's the opposite, where a wine is overly tannic. Either it's too young or it might not ever open. In that case, you feel like you have cotton mouth, is the only way I can describe it, because it's just this gripping on the sides of both of your tongue, and you kind of can't get over the sensation enough to taste the rest of the wine, and that's usually if a wine is a bit closed.
Okay. So in part, in sort of ending this, What's your advice to people who are tasting? Somebody who's new to getting into wine, what would be your advice in tasting? What would be your one thing you'd say, hey, make sure you do this?
Or yeah. You know what? You need, like, try and be in a space that has some natural light. That really helps you to look at the color of the wine and get used to the different colors of different grape varieties. I think the other thing is have a good glass. Like, don't try and taste wine out of a tumbler. Really, it's good to have a stemmed glass with a nice wide bowl that narrows to the top.
Preferably
because then
crystal.
As you swill it around, the esters, which is the aromas, will condense at the top of the glass. And as it hits your nose and your olfactory, you'll get the maximum benefit of the swirling.
No doubt about it. The big glass, if you got a big bulbous glass that has surface area, you're going to get more smell coming out of it. And so much of taste is tied to smell that it seems like having a nice glass will improve a wine experience enormously. Anything, Lisa, you would suggest to people when they're tasting?
I would say, one, don't overpour your wine. I noticed this at a lot of homes that I'm going to lately. It's good to pour less than a half a glass, like a finger off the half glass. And that enables you to swirl. My preference is for crystal glasses. If you can get them at a reasonable price by you, they actually make a big difference between regular glass. Swirl the wine around in circles, except if it's champagne, and then keep it in your mouth for a few seconds because it really makes a difference in kind of just appreciating its flavors before you swallow it. It really enables you to get different facets of the wine.
And the key, what Lisa is saying, is if you pour a half glass, if you pour less, you have a greater surface area, right, within the glass for it to open up and breathe. Nothing is as bad as, you know, a waiter or waitress pouring a big, you know, half a bottle into one glass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're not allowing the majority of the wine to breathe, so I would agree with that. My piece of advice, Nick, taste frequently because you're going to get better. The more you taste, the more you can compare, the more you force your mind to express, what am I tasting, the better it will get at tasting. I hear people, you know, when I first started, they talk about mid-palate, they talk about length, I didn't quite understand. But over time, your mind begins to adapt. You get better at tasting. And I'm around people who are phenomenal at tasting, who are better than I, but I'm better than I used to be. And so your appreciation goes up. The more you taste, the more you try to appreciate, the more you take that time to be in the moment and taste the wine.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree, ladies?
I would agree.
Definitely agree.
Excellent. So I think that's it for this podcast. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Thanks. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.